Now let's continue on and see the instructions that God gave concerning the Passover. Come down here to verse 21, Exodus 12. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, see, because he had to give them the instructions, and they had to go back and tell the people directly. Today, we can use telephones, we can use email, we can use printed word, all that sort of thing. Then to take the lamb, verse 21, put the blood on the house. Okay. Now, the last sentence of verse 22, and none of you shall go out of the door of this house until sunrise. Now, the King James says morning. Okay. Sunrise. Now, everybody can tell when sunrise is sunrise, right? Okay. Sunrise does not mean midnight. And in fighting for the truth concerning the changing of Passover, those who want to keep a 15th Passover say, well, they did it on the 15th and they left their houses at midnight because that was morning. But the Hebrew is sunrise, so we translated it correctly. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. You shall observe this thing as a law to you and your children forever. Now, I want you to note verse 25 and 26. Because one of the false teachings is to combine the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread together. But they are two different things. So we have to establish why the Passover, which we have right here, verse 25 and 26. And it shall be when you've come into the land which the Lord will give you according as he promised, that you shall keep this service. It shall be when your children say to you, what does this service mean to you? Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, because they were doing the sacrifice of the lamb at their houses, and the children was asking the father, Daddy, what are you doing? Okay. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads in worship. Verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. They stayed in their houses. All right, now let's finish this up here, down for a few more verses, and then we'll go back and we'll examine the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we will see the meaning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is connected with the Passover, but separate from and different. So let's go ahead here. Verse 29, and it came to pass at midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the prison, also all the firstborn of livestock. Now, you talk about a lot of dead people. That's about one in five. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And during the night he sent word to Moses and Aaron, saying, rise up, get away from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve your gods, and also take your flocks and herds. Bless me also. And so then they left, they spoiled the Egyptians, they had the unleavened bread all ready to go, packed up in their knapsacks, and the children of Israel did as God had, Moses commanded them. They took articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing from the Egyptians. All right. Now, let's go on. Now, they had to take the spoils of the Egyptians on the day portion of the Passover day. because it started out right after sunset. You go all night, midnight, there's the Passover. You stay in the house till sunrise. What do you do at sunrise? You come out of the house and you go from your houses to Ramses. So they had to assemble at Ramses because we will see that's where they began to leave Egypt. Now, the movie by Cecil B. DeMille's on that was The Exodus. He did an excellent job and stuck to the scriptures very well. All right, now, here's the part that he doesn't cover. Now let's come back to verse 15, because here we talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because as we read, the Passover is, this is Exodus 12 and verse 15 now, okay? Just back from the page where we ended. Verse 15, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. Now that's in addition to the Passover day. Even the first day you shall have put away leaven out of your houses, and we do that today. Why do we do it today? Because leaven is pictured as a type of sin, as we'll see a little later on, and leaven is everywhere, just like sin is everywhere. So during the 7 days, leaven is a type of sin, we put it out. For them, it was a special eating of the unleavened bread because they couldn't carry the other bread and they couldn't take any other food with them, just the unleavened bread. So when they would take a break, they would eat the unleavened bread that they had cooked. When they stopped for the night, then they would take some of the dough, and obviously then they would roll it flat and then cook it very quickly over the flames. Now notice verse 15, the rest of the verse, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now how is a person cut off from Israel? Did he remove them from the land? No, just withheld blessings. That's how you're cut off. You're cut off from the blessings of God. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat, only that may be done by you. You shall, here's the reason now. There was a reason for the Passover. There is a reason for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Just like everything that God does, there's a reason. There's a reason for the Sabbath. There's a reason for all the holy days. There's a reason why God says don't eat unclean foods, because he wants you healthy. But today we have to fight more than that, because some of the foods we eat are not good for us, even though they may be clean foods to eat. All right, verse 17 explains about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now notice the difference between this and the Passover. For in the very same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall keep this day in your generations as a law forever. All right. Now, first time that I read in the King James verse 18, compared to verse 6. Okay. Because it said in verse 6, you shall kill it at even. And here it would read in the evening. And a minister said, verse 6 is one day, verse 18 is another day, the next day. And I said, okay, but how do I know that? All right, let's read verse 18 and then will understand very clearly. We already know the 14th day of the first month is the Passover day. And the lamb was to be killed right after sunset between the two evenings, and sunset begins the day, correct? And it also ends the day. So you come to the end of the day. You have the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Now let's read it here, verse 18. in the first month on the 14th day of the month at sunset. Now, how do we know this is the sunset that ends the day? Because it can be confusing. I'll show you in just a minute. And you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at sunset. 7 days there shall no leaven be found in your houses, for whoever eats leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a stranger or born in the land, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Okay? Hold your place right here, Exodus 12. Now let's come back to Leviticus 23:32. And Leviticus 23:32 tells us about the Day of Atonement. Now the Day of Atonement is very important because no work was to be done, not any work was to be done. No one was to do any work of any kind. He said it three times. And also, it was important that everyone keep the day at the same time. 23:32. Okay. Why? Because if you didn't keep it, God said he would cut you off and destroy you from among the people. Now, you don't want that happening to you. So he defined it very clearly concerning the sunset, verse 32, and this is for the Day of Atonement, which is a Sabbath. Leviticus 23:32. It, that is the Day of Atonement, shall be a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict yourselves, that is, by fasting. Now notice what it says here. In the ninth day of the month at even, from sunset to sunset, you shall keep your Sabbath. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Since it says right down here, verse 27, come down here and we'll just read the first sentence. Also, on the 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. The 10th day. Now, let's read verse 32 again. In the ninth day of the month at even, and that then has to end the ninth day. And it must begin the 10th day. Very clear. From sunset of the ninth day to sunset of the 10th day, you shall keep your Sabbath. So that defines the 10th day, from sunset on the ninth day to sunset on the 10th day. Now, let's take what we've learned with this and come back here to Exodus, and we will solve the problem very easily. Since the 14th day is the Passover, and at midnight God passed over, in the day portion of the Passover day, still the 14th, they spoiled the Egyptians, they went and gathered at Ramses. Now, sunset is coming. Sunset of the 14th. Let's read it, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at sunset. That's ending the 14th. Because the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the 15th, just like the Day of Atonement. Ninth day of the month, and from sunset to sunset, that's the 10th day. The 14th day of the month at sunset, that ends the 14th and begins the 15th. Okay? Now, does everybody understand that? Okay? Now, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day at sunset, which ends the day of the 21st. Now, let's do some counting. Okay? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 7 days. It begins over here. As the 14th day ends, the 15th begins. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Then it ends. And I remember the first time I heard that, as I said, and I wondered and wondered and wondered and wondered and wondered of that good number of years. But there it is. When you understand the Hebrew, it's right there. So in the faithful version, we have translated it correctly to remove that stumbling block. Okay? Now, he brought them out of the land of Egypt, beginning the 15th. Now, let's come over here to verse 37. Now, we're going to start talking about the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which begins as the sun sets on the 14th, the 15th begins. All right. Verse 37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, the men being about 600,000 on foot apart from the little ones. Also, mixed multitude, they baked unleavened bread, etc. Let's come down here to verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel in Egypt was 430 years. This goes back to Genesis 15, 430 years. And it was even on that very same day, just like God selected the Passover day for the Lamb of God to be slain, Jesus Christ, from the foundation of the world, he selected this very day and told Abraham that they would come out with substance from the land that they were enslaved in. There it is, fulfilled. To the same day that God told Abraham that it would occur. And that was right after sunset that occurred. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, it was even on the very same day, all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It, beginning the 15th day, is a night much to be observed to the Lord, for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. It is that night of the Lord, he owns it, to be observed by all the children of Israel in their generations. Now, I got an email just yesterday, and a man said that the night to be observed was something that Herbert W. Armstrong invented. So I wrote him back. I said, no, he didn't invent it. And I quoted the verses here. Belongs to the Lord. He said, you shall observe it. So that's why we observe it. Now, for the children of Israel, they were coming out of Egypt. For us spiritually, we come out of the world, right? And the world is pictured as Sodom and Egypt, Revelation 11, 8. So we are coming out of Egypt, and as Guillermo has been telling us, that witchcraft is everywhere in the world and becoming more and more. You know how many witches there are in the United States today? 2 million.
Wow.
And they even have wicked chaplains in the services. So how far off has the world gone? I mean, think of it. So, yes, there's meaning for us. Aren't you glad that God has called you? Told you to come out of the world. How do you live in the world but come out of the world? Well, you live God's way and practice his way rather than practicing the way of the world and living their way. See? Now, it's not easy. But that's what God has said. Okay. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed by all the children of Israel in their generations. Now, let's put it together with this year. Okay? Thursday night, as it's getting dark, we keep the Passover because the Passover day begins at sunset on Thursday night, April 5th. At sunset, April 6th, we begin keeping the night to be much observed. Then on the day portioned of that day, we have regular services for the holy day, which then is April 7th, which happens to fall on a regular Sabbath this year. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this year in relationship to the day Jesus the Christ died in the 3 days and three nights. The only year that Jesus could have been crucified in was the year 30 AD. Passover was in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. This year, it's on a Friday. All right. How could you have Jesus crucified on a Friday, put in the grave Friday night, was there Saturday day, and was there Saturday night? How can you make that be 3 days and three nights? There's no way. So if anyone says there's a Friday crucifixion when Jesus was crucified, is incorrect. The only reason they selected 33 AD with a Friday Passover was why? So they could have it fall on Good Friday. So you see, they change everything that is in the Bible, and they make it suit what they want it to make it suit, and then they have to then build all kinds of myths and fables and lies to try and portray that they're telling the truth to people that don't know. Okay, so that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right. Now, we're to remember this day. And here's something that's also important. This day became a day to sanctify all the firstborn. Because God says, all the firstborn are mine. All the males belong to me, man and beast. So let's read it right here, chapter 13. Now you notice I put the last verse of chapter 12 before the first verse of chapter 13. Because that's how it reads in the Hebrew. And it came to pass the very same day when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, sanctify, or that is, set aside to me for a holy purpose, all the firstborn to me. Now, this is important for us to understand. So when we go to Deuteronomy 16, we can understand Deuteronomy 16. Granted, there are some things that are difficult to understand. But if you take it step by step and you apply the rules of Bible study and you understand when a day begins, when a day ends, and what was to be done, then you know what it's talking about. Now notice, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, of man or beast, it is mine. Now then he talks about this a little bit later. We'll get to that. Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for the Lord brought you from this place by the strength of his hand. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Spiritual application? Did God call us out of the world? Did it have to be by the strength of his spirit? Yes, we had to choose and we wanted to come. So there's the spiritual lesson. So as we go through, we'll look at the physical lesson, the spiritual lesson. On this day, you're going out in the month of Abib, which then is green ears. Then it talks about when they get into the land, they'll keep this service. Verse 6, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. In the seventh day, there shall be a feast to the Lord. So the first day is a holy day. Seventh day is a holy day. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leavened bread be seen with you, nor shall there be leaven seen with you in all your borders. And you shall tell your son in that day, this is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of the land of Egypt. What are we to remember concerning the Passover compared to this? He passed over their houses at midnight and spared the firstborn. Now the 15th is This is because what the Lord did for me when I came out from Egypt. It shall be a sign upon your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. Today, it's to be in our minds. For, and of course, in unleavening, let's take the unleavening, getting rid of the leaven. Where does sin reside in human beings? In the mind. So, we need to be unleavened in Christ and with the Spirit of God. God is doing the house cleaning of getting the leaven and sin out of our minds and out of our lives and replacing it with His laws and His commandments and His word. And today we have the whole Bible, so what God can do if we yield to God and understand is fantastic. All right. Verse 10. You shall therefore keep this law in its season. Then he says, and it shall be. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart all that opens the womb. Every firstborn that comes of any animal which you have, the males, shall be the Lord's. The daughters, then there should be a special thank offering for the daughter. Okay. Now notice how important the firstborn is, and when you understand, and we'll cover this when we get toward Pentecost, the church is called the church of the firstborn. Okay? Those who are in the first resurrection will all be the firstborn. So there's the spiritual lesson. Jesus was the first of the first fruits, the first of the firstborn. Now, verse 13, let's see how important this is. Every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem it with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Now you're confronted with a choice. Do you want the lamb or a dead donkey that can do work for you? Choose giving the lamb. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Meaning they had to give an offering of thanksgiving to redeem them, because they were all dedicated by birth to God. And only the Levites could be used in the service of God directly. All the rest of the firstborn of the rest of the tribes of Israel were not used in the service of God, but to show the particular blessing of being the firstborn, God said, you shall redeem. Now notice again, God explains why. And it shall be when your son asks you in the time to come, saying, what does this mean? You shall say to him, the Lord brought us out from Egypt by the strength of his hand from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the womb that are males. But my firstborn of my sons, I redeem. Now, this is also showing, spiritually, how God redeems us, correct? Yes. Now, with that in mind, let's come to Deuteronomy 16. Now, Deuteronomy 16 is a little problematic, and the reason it is problematic is because of the wording, the way that Ezra wrote it. Okay, Deuteronomy 16, but we can understand. Now, here is where a lot of people turn, especially the Jews, because they believe in a 15 Passover, and let me just mention this. Why do the Jews today believe in a 15 Passover instead of a 14 Passover? And that has been an enigma to a lot of people. They can read in the Bible, Passover is on the 14th day. You go to a Jew and say, what day is the Passover? He says the 15th. How did that happen? Two reasons. Number one, they had to be within the land of Israel to keep a 14th Passover. We can cover that later. That's in the Passover book, and that's found in Numbers 9. If they were out of the land, they couldn't keep a 14th Passover, but they could keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread beginning on the 15th. Question. What happened when they were exiled in 586 BC and sent off to Babylon in captivity? They couldn't keep a 14th Passover because they weren't in the land. So what did the Jews do? Now, those who came back to the land after 70 years kept it again on the 14th, the way it should be. Those in exile kept a 15th, and they called it Passover. All 8 days, because they added an extra day, the 22nd day, to make it 8 days altogether. So you see, a little sleight of hand. Hocus pocus, dominocus. Okay. The shell game. Put it under this shell. Which one is it under? That one. Nope. This one. Nope. This one. Yep. So when you come, Deuteronomy 15, 16 rather, beg your pardon. Deuteronomy 16. Let's read it. Keep the month of Abib. Observe or keep. They're interchangeable. And observe the Passover unto the Lord your God, full stop, in the Hebrew. Uh-huh. See? So we have the Passover in the month of Abib, unto the Lord your God. Now, more happened, didn't it? Yes, so it continues. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. They started going at sunset, beginning the 15th. All right. Here is the verse, verse 2. Now I want you to listen very carefully. And this took me years to figure out. The Lord will verify that after I had done the first harmony of the Gospels, and we were confronted by Jewish experts who came to the worldwide Church of God and said, Passover's on the 15th, not the 14th. So that's when I really started digging in to find out about this. Okay? And that's how I discovered all of these things. But I said, if the Jews are correct, we should do what they say. But if they are not correct by the scriptures, we should not do what they say. Okay? Now here's the key verse. And you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord your God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there, instead of your house. You see anything there that catches your attention? Okay. The herd. What were the instructions in Exodus 12 that we read? You shall select it from the flock, a lamb or a kid. How did the herd get in there? Have you ever heard of the Passover calf? Okay. And why in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name? What are we talking about? All right. Here is the answer. What did we just cover concerning the firstborn in Exodus 13? They were to redeem them, right? After they kept the Passover on the 14th, and they were in the area of Jerusalem where the temple was, what do you think they did for the male children that were born during that year? Well, on the day portion of the Passover day, they would go to the temple and they would offer the sacrifice to redeem, correct? to redeem the unclean animal and to redeem your sons. These became known as Passover offerings, and they could offer the flock, they could offer the herd. So if you were especially proud of your firstborn son, you could offer a whole bullock. But you're certainly not going to take that and use it as a Passover house offering. Can you imagine it would take you more than one night on a spigot to roast, you know, a full bullock, you know, 600 pounds dressed, you know, and you want it well done and the meat is this thick. See? Okay. So I remember pondering this. Why do they say the 15th? And they point here to Deuteronomy 16. Why do they say the 15th? And I read that, and I remember I was lying in bed reading this, and I read the herd. Bang, a light went on, and I said, that's it! This is not the Passover sacrifice. This is not called a Passover sacrifice, but a Passover offering, which was the redemption offering during the Passover day to start the night to be much observed. Preparation for it. Now let's read on, and you will see that everything is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The only thing having to do with Passover is in verse 1, you're to observe it. Verse 2, sacrifice the Passover offering to the Lord of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. That's where you go to redeem it at the temple. Now, you shall eat no leavened bread with it, that is, with the offering of redemption. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, because those offerings they could eat until the third day. Anything left at the end of the third day they were to dispose of, because they didn't have refrigerators and Ziploc bags. Now today, we can put things in a refrigerator, Ziploc bag, and if we want to keep it longer, in the freezer. Okay? Now, the unleavened bread is called the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Unleavened bread, correct? Yes. Now, you see, that's why the Jews relabeled unleavened bread as Passover. Because if you would ask a Jew, and I only found one quote by a Karaite rabbi who admitted the truth, and that quote is in the Passover book. You wouldn't want to ask a Jew, well, why do you keep the 15th Passover, instead of a 14th Passover? He is not going to tell you, because we have sinned and God is angry with us and he has exiled us away, so we can't keep a 14th Passover. Well, all you have to do is repent and accept Jesus, and you can, because that's what Jesus kept and that's what Jesus told his disciples to teach all that would be converted. See? No, he said, well, you know, they changed it from a domestic sacrifice to temple sacrifice. Yeah, that's it. And then they quote Deuteronomy 15, and they stay away from Exodus 12. But you see, the problem is you have to have agreement between Exodus 12 and Deuteronomy 16 from the point of view. There are no contradictions in the Scripture. So there has to be a proper and a right answer as to what the difference really is. So this is the difference. Let's notice something else. And this also got me out of bed the second time. Let's read on. Yes. Verse 14. No leaven shall be seen with you in all your borders for 7 days, nor shall any flesh which you sacrifice the first day at sunset remain until morning. They were to eat it. So they stayed up all night.
Verse 4.
verse 4. Yeah, now verse 5. You may not sacrifice the Passover offering within your gates, which the Lord your God gives you. Now, it doesn't say you may not sacrifice the Passover lamb. This is the Passover offering, which is the redemption of the firstborn, not the Passover lamb for the Passover that you could observe in your own home. See? But at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name, there you shall sacrifice the Passover offering at sundown, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt, which was ending the 14th, beginning the 15th. Now, verse 7, here's another jump out of bed experience. Verse 7, and you shall boil and eat it. Boil? What did it say in Exodus 12? See, now, most translations say, you shall roast it, but the Hebrew, and I was reading the Hebrew interlinear, and it said boil. So I got out my handy-dandy trusty King James and found out it was wrong. It said, you shall roast. So I went back to Exodus 12, and what does it say in Exodus 12? We read it. It said, you shall roast it with fire. You shall not boil it at all with water. What is this? You shall boil it. This can only be the offerings for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the redemption offering that was offered in preparation for the night to be much observed unto the Lord. And don't you think how happy they were and what a wonderful occasion it was? They have, say, maybe a year-old son. You come up to Jerusalem and you offer the offering and sacrifice for him to redeem him. And then God lets you also participate in the eating of that sacrifice. And you know that your firstborn son is going to be blessed of God because you redeemed him. And think what a great celebration that was for these people. They didn't have spiritual understanding. Okay. All right. Now, let's go on here. Yes, continuing verse 7. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tent. So they stayed up all night for the night to be much observed. An all-night celebration. Meat and wine and strong drink. No work in the morning. No time clocks. No cars to worry about. Everybody camping out around in Jerusalem, thousands of people together celebrating and having a wonderful, wonderful feast. Okay. Go to your tents in the morning, and you can sleep most of that day. Now notice, after that day, notice, 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And this is also a mystery, because everywhere else it says, you're to eat unleavened bread 7 days. Well, after you've observed the first day of unleavened bread, how many are left? Six. See, sometimes the answer is so simple. And on the seventh day, there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work. Now, I hope you understand the difficult scriptures in Exodus 12, and here in Deuteronomy 16. But you need to have all the information and know what it's talking about so you can understand the difference. And you're learning it very early on. It took me a long time to understand this. And so when we did the Old Testament, Michael Heiss doing all the Hebrew work here on it, we made sure that the faithful version was faithful and that we did give the right meaning of evening and morning and the right understanding here concerning Deuteronomy 16. Now, we're coming up to the Passover time, unleavened bread, night to be observed. We'll let you know all about that as we go forward. Okay? We should have everything by the 17th. We should have everything all figured out what we're going to do, but we're going to keep the feast.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.